accessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most holy, ancient of days, thou mighty, victorious, thy great name we praise, unresting, unhasting, and silent. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, of all. We blossom and perish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine tis only the splendor of light hideth thee.
Amen. Amen. It's a good start. We will continue on. Let me see which one. I'll save that for later in the service. There we go. Hymn number 41 in the big books. 41.
If you're able, we'll stand as we sing in the sweet by and by.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father went over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet. Sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we shall offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days in the sweet by and by. we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Amen. Come on, you up then, Norman, and bring us the reading, if you would.
This morning's reading is from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. It's spelled A-C-T-S, not A-X-E-S. The former treatise have I made, O thee Theopas, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into that upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Asseldama, which is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let this habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And this bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John, unto that day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barabbas, Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, and he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Amen.
Like that verse, verse number 3, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Amen. It's not a blind faith we have. It's a reasoning proof-based faith. Amen. I had to smile a bit as Norman was, I don't mean this in a bad way, was chewing over some of those names there. And I thought, well, I'll get the same treatment because we're going to be reading in Matthew chapter 1 for our text this morning as well. So, amen, we'll be speaking on the subject of fathers. So there's going to be a few more names that are going to be chewed over before the end of the service. I just want to take a little moment and remind you to make sure that you get one of our Christmassy red prayer lists. Please make sure that, just have a look, if you would, over any of the prayer requests that you are responsible for, that they are up to date, and if they're not, let us know. If there are people that still need prayer, or if there's a thanks to be had in their place, I often think about things like that as stand at the bridge. Did you know on the bridge there's normally a few life belts on the old bridge? I don't think it works so well on the new bridge. But there's life belts with ropes attached. And if you were to throw a life belt in without a rope attached, the person would certainly float, probably the whole way out to sea, or until someone could get a boat to them. But if there's a rope attached to it, you can pull them into safety. So not quite that serious. It's the same with the gospel and putting the gospel leaflets and putting church details on them. We want people to know that there is a place that preaches the gospel. But if there's anything there that needs updated, if there's more that you want to add, if there's stuff that is finished and done with, please let us know. I'm not sure if it's there, but if you could just continue to pray for Monica's mom. She got successfully through the procedure, but she's still recuperating. So please do pray about that. And amen. We'd appreciate your prayers in that regard. As regards everybody else, we still miss Frank. And Christine is our occasional visitor as well. Don't forget Leonard. He's been away. How many years is he in the Malorium?
Milesium.
I keep thinking of the Millennium Falcon. That shows you my Star Wars upbringing. But please do pray for him. For Esther too, for Pat and Steve, we miss them as well when they can't be here. And do please pray for the McMahon family as well. Other than that, private prayer requests. We have, as you can see, Monica and myself, Ling and Steve, Pat, Will and Norman. If you have any, well, basically we're talking to you guys. If you have any private prayer requests that you want, we can put your names down there. Otherwise, we get prayed for anyway. So just in case, those are specific private prayer requests. So do you have any? Do you want your names down there? You don't want your names in print anywhere. That's grand. Okay. By way, anybody, any thanks? Anything that God's been doing for you that you'd like to give thanks for, or just generic thanks is good too. That's grand. Well, you...
health, wealth and strength.
Yes, yes indeed. Or that's Steve would say blessings.
I'll say that.
We're still Baptists, right?
Yeah, we'll leave the wealth out. Life, health and strength, how's that? Say, money isn't everything, but it's handy when you go into a shop. I would also like to thank the Lord for our good opportunity tracking yesterday up at the Crescent Link. If you ever want to join us, at the moment we're normally leaving McDonald's / Subway at 9, or getting there at 9:30 and leaving about 10. It's very handy because we literally only have to drive a minute to park the car. We've got one last third of all the houses behind the Crescent Link to track, and Lord willing we'll get that done next week. It's been a while. So we'll be doing mostly local before we stretch out into the likes of Eglinton and Maydown and one place and another. So please do pray about that as well. I'm glad for it, and appreciate the encouragement and the prayers and the help from Will there too. Amen. Anything else? All quiet. I'm sure Steve will make up for it this afternoon or this evening. But pray for him and the rest of the folks too. Steve had x-rays taken on Thursday, I think it was. You won't get the results until this coming Thursday. I think it's to check COPD damage to his lungs. So please do pray about that too. I think that's about that. Oh, yeah. I think, is the name not there, Jack Mormon?
He was. Yeah, I forgot to move into the morning section.
That's his wife, Dot, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. I heard Stan wasn't very impressed with the pastor giving his eulogy, making it into a COVID service. Does anybody want to hear anything about COVID? If you come into this church with an injection, with a COVID injection, you'll be treated just the same as if you came into the church without a COVID injection. How's that? You can sit as close to each other as you want, and you can shake hands with whomever you want, and just pray that the Lord looks after you anyway. We are not going to get bent out of shape about that. There's been too much hurt done over the past year and a half to people that have missed human contact, and we're not going to contribute to that. So, amen. All right, well, would you lead us in a wee word of prayer there, if you would, brother?
Yes, Father, thank you for this life, Father. Thank you for helping us strengthen and helping us bring us out to safety, to the cats, to the rough number, to the peace, heavy head. Hospital is represented today, and blessed and keep us all to everything simple in the sight, Lord, in the service today, Lord, both in the morning and the evening as well, Lord. Lord, pray for the people who came to God, with that, Lord, pray for them, and spiritually, ministry and physically, and all of these, Lord, supply them with their need, and Lord, bring custody and save them and bless them, Lord, as well, Lord. Pray for Frank as he journeys and his travels, Lord, deliver from any trouble, keep a ring around him, a fire around him, protect him and guide him and bless him as well, Lord, and draw him closely. Pray for Stephen, Carl, and John, Lord, save their souls and save them from sin, Lord. And Lord, pray for Carl and her arms, Lord, and Lord, heal her as well, Lord. And pray for Stephen, Carl, and John, save their souls mightily and powerfully from now on. For my glory, Lord. Professor, but for lymphoma, but for arms and her legs, Lord, and her sickness and her illness, Lord, provide for her, keep her and save her. And provide for and keep her safe and well as well, Lord. We have Stephen Pat with their diabetes, heal them, Lord. Let them from their pains, Lord, can respite and sleep at night, Lord. And we have Stephen as he gets his results back from the doctor, Lord, and we come back favorably, Lord. And, or if not, Lord, heal him, Lord. Or if that is not possible, then give him the medication that will help him, Lord, for his pains and his struggles, Lord, and his heart, Lord, as well, Lord. We'll stay, Lord. And provide for his gifts, Lord. Give John Bradfield, Lord. Give him his blood pressure, heal him, Lord. And deliver him from any trouble, Lord. John, push him walkway. Give the people throughout this world, they've got COVID-19, Lord. Help them, Lord. Stop them from dying, Lord. And may be a reality check for them to check in with Jesus, Lord. And to seek the great physician of God to save them from their sins for all eternity. For the shed blood of the cross. For the cross shed for them. When they accept Jesus as their own and personal Savior, Lord. For this day, Lord, if Mark has come to deliver the gospel, both from the morning and the evening, Lord, give him a touch of the Spirit, Lord, and touch our hearts, Lord, and draw us closer and more in line with thee, for thy honor, for our glory, for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Will. Let's take those songbooks again and sing another song. Hymn number 54.
54 in the big books.
Bibles. If you'd like to turn to 301, 301,
it is that sweet hour of prayer. 301. And if you're able, we'll stand again.
Please.
This is going to say, in a different church, I could say this is my penance for raising a smile as Norman was reading all those names. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1. It's not a different church, this is a Baptist church. Independent Baptist church. We're in Matthew chapter 1 and I want to spend, like I said earlier on, a little bit of time on the subject of fathers and just how important they are. It's called fathers. I'm going to read the first 17 verses. I'd appreciate your prayers. If the next time you look up at me, my tongue's all tied in knots, you'll know the reason why. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1, the Word of God says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Perez and Zarah of Tamar, and Perez begat Ezron, and Ezron begat Aram. And Aram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Naasson, I think. And Naasson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rechab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa. And Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram. And Joram begat Uzzias, and Uzzias begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias. And Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias. And Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiad, and Abiad begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor. And Azor begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliad. And Eliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matthan, and Matthan begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Amen. Amen. Let's have another word of prayer. Christy, could I ask you to lead us, please, if you would.
Lord, we are thankful for this day, the sun shining outside, and for the ability, Lord, to be in your house this morning, the freedom we have in this land, so we meet and worship you as well. I ask a special blessing upon the preacher this hour, Lord, that you guide his thoughts this minute, Lord. You would clear the depths of his mind, Lord, and just give clarity of thought and word, Lord, please. Just feed him this moment, Lord, so that he can feed your sheep, Lord, please. try each heart here, Lord. If there be any wicked way in each of us, Lord, then pluck it out, perform surgery, Lord, please. Be with our absent brethren, those that are sick and fighting silent policy, pray for provision for them. Or just give victory, we pray. With those needing a touch of comfort, especially the Mormon family at this time, remember Pat Hayne, Lord, as she recovers from her surgery too. We'll be with Steve in advance of his results next week and pray to accomplish your will there as well. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Here we have the lineage of, well, Joseph and his stepson Jesus. Technically, Jesus gets in there on Joseph's coattails, just like Joseph got in there on Jacob's coattails. We have quite literally the lineage of Jesus Christ leading back to David the king, which was very important, which means that Jesus Christ was in line to the throne. Matthew is often called the book of Jesus Christ the King. And if you recall to mind a number of the titles of Jesus Christ, one of them is the King of Kings. And we mentioned that in a service not that very long ago. We are called to be kings and priests once we are saved, to those around us that are lost, and that's why Jesus is called the King of Kings, because he is our King. This was so that when the world looked back, I'm sure nobody gave it much thought at the time, but when the world looks back, they can see that Jesus had a right to be called the King. Do you remember the last thing that was written about him on the cross? Here, this is the King of the Jews. He quite literally was one of the children of the King, King David. And even when they wanted a change to "he saith that he is the King of the Jews," Pilate said, "I have written what I have written." Jesus was the son of a king, technically eligible to rule the nation of Israel, and someday he is coming back to do just that. But in the words that Norman read to us from the book of Acts and Christy preached on 6 months ago, longer, 8 months ago, it's just slipped my mind there just as I was about to say it. Oh, it's gone. And it was, there was just a wee verse of the scriptures there that told us that Jesus was not at this time going to restore Israel to its power. But we know from the many prophecies and the about Israel, and of course the things given out to the rest of the world, that this time is coming again soon. At the very least, it's 7 years away. That's the 7 years of tribulation and whatever length of time we have on the run up to that tribulation. So Jesus is coming back to be king. It just wasn't to be so at this time. He was to be presented as the Lamb of God slain for the sin of the world. If you were to go to the book of Luke, you would see the other line of Jesus going right back to God. One of the other names of Jesus, of course, being the Son of God. So he has many, many titles, and each one of them is apt, is appropriate, and it's well worth remembering, and it's very, very important. Just to maybe emphasize a point, one of the things that the outgoing high priest used to do to the incoming high priest for the Jews and the people was to baptize them again, just an official handing over of the mantle of the office. And we all know that whenever the Lord came up to John the Baptist and says, "John, baptize me." And John said, "What? I should be baptized of you." And Jesus said, "Suffer it to be this way for right now." And in years to come, people will look back and understand why. So in effect, by his birth and by the actions that he took and by his physical birthright, his, if you like, we'll not call it a spiritual birthright, but his, because Jesus was never born, but his title in heaven, he is the great high priest, he is the King of Kings, he is the Son of God, he is the Son of Man, and so many other titles. He has fulfilled all of his earthly qualifications, and they're presented there for anybody to see and hear and understand. And one of the reasons we know that so many aren't convinced or don't know or don't want to know is because it was really up to people to go and ask. If you were to read in the book of Luke and the things that Jesus did whenever he was little, whenever he was a young boy up for his first Passover, and the things that people said about him. The one thing that the Word of God recorded was that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She was like the living record of his early life. And the reason we have them here is because the apostles, and the disciples, the writers of the New Testament, sat down with Mary when everything was done and dusted, just after the Lord went up into heaven and said, "Tell us everything." And so all of the things that Mary held in her heart, she told his lineage to Matthew, told his lineage to Luke. And they wrote them down for us to see, because your father's important. Not just for the obvious reasons, but it's very, very important. Especially in Jewish times, and even going right the way back to the very early chapters of the Old Testament. I want to, other than the tongue twisters, we'll not be going back hopefully on any of those names anytime soon. Well, not in this service anyway. I want to speak about some of the benefits of a father of a family. Statistically, and even in America, where they say, oh, the crime rate is awful amongst one section of the community or another, the crime rates in people are markedly higher in those with families without a father present. Those that have young men that don't have a father present to set them a good example. The most important thing that a father has is his family. It's not his job, it's not his career. It's his walk with the Lord and then his family. And families without fathers, to instill a little bit of discipline and to give a good example of how a husband should treat his wife, they do much better. Without a father to do those things, do much worse. And of course, we all know that the exception to all of the statistics and all of the rules is the God-fearing Christian. That can quite literally change their spots and change their direction whenever they're listening to the Lord Jesus. Ideally, a family will have a mother and perhaps siblings. And in this nuclear unit, they call it the nuclear family today, there's all sorts of provision made for the family. But most importantly, the Word of God says, husbands, you're supposed to love your wives. Even the same way that Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. So what that is saying, husband, even to death, should it be someone trying to kick the door down and that mean your death, you are supposed to stand between your family and the world and protect them from all. And there is a lot of devilment, of mischief and wickedness in it. It's supposed to be a place where a child can learn and learn from their mistakes safely. Be chastened if they need it and continue not to learn. Have good examples set that we've already mentioned. And have an example of faith. Be able to see their mummy and their daddy especially, praying to the Lord giving him an answer, the father adopting that answer, and things going better because the father obeyed the Lord. Father's supposed to pass on good habits, whether that is getting up and brushing your teeth in the morning, putting on clean underwear in the morning, getting a shave, which I know I'm skipping a bit at the moment, but nobody has to learn from me, thankfully. We're supposed to learn good things like going to your bed in time and getting a good night's sleep and making sure you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for whatever job it is that you do. We are supposed to stand in the way of everything that's bad, and we are supposed to encourage everything that's good in our families. One of the things that fathers, more so in olden days, and I'm not just talking about New Testament or Old Testament, but even as much as 100 or 200 years ago, was to prepare their children to earn a living, to earn a crust, a career. We already know that Jesus Christ's stepdad was a carpenter, a joiner, and Jesus is known as a carpenter. Before his official ministry was begun, we already know that his ministry began pretty much as soon as he was born and all the things that happened around him. And we've already seen how he was used, it was used by the Lord to cement a place in man's eyes as Savior, King and Priest. Not the carpentry, of course, but all of the many supernatural things. In the eyes of the laws that the Lord set down, these are all important for your career. It is important that you set the scene. Let me give you a story that really made a dad change his way, straighten himself up a bit. He was out with his son in the bad weather this one time. There was a more than a few inches of snow on the ground, and this father and son were walking. I will say they were walking to the woodshed, but they were walking somewhere, and the father looked around and he saw his son struggling to make the big steps, because wherever his dad had stepped in the snow, the little boy was doing his best to step there as well, because it was easier on him. And his dad said to him, "What are you doing, son?" And the son said, "Dad, I want to walk in your footsteps because it's easier for me." And so it's very important that we set that example. Back in the day, the children learned the trade of the father. And the women learned to be homemakers if they were married, and to contribute and to, as the Bible says, raise up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It was very, very important. That's where we get the name people called butcher. Obviously, there's a butcher somewhere back. I know, or cobbler, or Mr. Cod, the fishmonger. I don't know if that's what, maybe way back in the dim and distant past, they were out in the boats and all they brought in was the best of cod, and they called him Jimmy the Cod. And I don't know, but we can see from surnames, obviously, the job's glazier. And that's not even going back more than a couple of hundred years to where people were renowned for working with glass, and so on and so forth. And we know that Jesus came to follow in his father's footsteps. And we're not talking about Joseph's footsteps. We're talking, remember what he said whenever he was only a young fella, and his mom, they brought him for his first Passover. And he decided to go off to the temple and not let on to anybody. So mom and dad thought, mom and stepdad, but Mary and Joseph thought that he was with family, and went on a day or two, and then found that he wasn't there, and came back and found him in the temple, reasoning and speaking with the Pharisees and the scribes and asking them questions. And they said, do you remember her words? Where have you been? Your father and I have sought you sorrowing. And he said, I'm at my father's business, and in my father's house, and I'm about his business. Plainly saying there and then that Joseph was not his father, but God was his father. But generally speaking, there was a career to be had if you followed in your father's footsteps. I am sure it is every parent's desire for their children to bring their children to such a point before they step off into the world to be able to look after themselves. And I don't just mean to feed themselves, but to really look after themselves, to be independent. We do have, as far as the Jews were concerned, this career was very clearly set out by God. There were certain families that were set aside just completely to look after the temple, the Levites. That was it and nothing else. And I've got a great example here from Nehemiah, whenever after the Babylonian debacle, where the children of Israel were misbehaving themselves awfully for decades and decades, and God sent the king of Babylon to sort them out. Whenever 70 years later, when it came to the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the reinstituting of the temple and the work in it and the praise and the glory of God, there were people that turned up wanting to be Levites. And in Nehemiah chapter 7, here we have, and it's just an example, it's one that sticks in my mind because I'm in Ezra and Nehemiah at the moment. And it says of the priests, I've got names again, the children of Habaya, the children of Koz, the children of Barzillai, which took one of the daughters of Barzillai, or Barzillaiah, the Gileadite, to wife, and was called after their name. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but it was not found, therefore they, as polluted, were put from the priesthood. And the Tirshatha said unto them that they should not eat of the most holy things till there stood up a priest with Urim and Thummim. It's important. It was important back then, and we do know that it's important today as well. I don't know the reason why, and the Word of God doesn't say. There could have been a multitude of things that could have forgotten their heritage. And I'm immediately reminded of Esau, who despised his inheritance. They didn't think it was important enough to remember. Maybe they were living life large for a while, and then they got news of a possible position of authority in the rebuilt Jerusalem and tried to get in there, but it didn't work. Maybe their dad never taught them what their lineage was and where they stood in the eyes of the people and in the eyes of the God, of the Lord. Or maybe they were just outright pretenders. But it was important to know who your fathers were. It was also important not just for family and career, but for an inheritance. And if you want the best example of that is when the children of Israel come into the promised land, and read through Joshua. There's three particularly explicit chapters to this effect, Joshua 13, 14, and 15, where God, to Joshua, literally laid out, this land is for you, this land is for you, and this land is for you, and break it up according to the families that you have. That's what God said. That's important. Your inheritance is important. Sometimes it can help you out greatly. Whenever you're at a low ebb, sometimes it can be a great boost to your plans for the future, but it's important. And we do well to remember our inheritance. Might not be much in this world to inherit, but we'll come to our real inheritance in a little bit. This is, it's something to bear in mind that your inheritance is never yours. You only look after it for a little while and use it as you see fit, because someday someone else is going to have it for an inheritance. But it's worth making good use of whenever you get it. Basically, if you couldn't point to your father and your father's father, you didn't get your inheritance as far as God was concerned. As far as the future goes, it's father's important there too. Everything, of course, that sets you outright in your life comes from your father, comes from your ancestors, your inheritance. Even up until that point, it might not be money, but it'll be habits, it'll be a family name, it'll be maybe a career. You don't know, but you'll have a future out of it. And it's based upon those that went before. Flesh and blood relatives that have followed God's lives, these people always received a fair crack of the whip. And fathers, whenever we are little, are huge in our lives. Literally. I remember being little, and one of my most vivid memories is me at the Bloody Bridge in Newcastle, Mum and Dad. Does anybody know the Bloody Bridge in Newcastle? Yeah. Does anybody here never like getting a chase off their mummy or daddy? It always gave me a thrill. I was one of those children who probably had to have strapped to something at all times. But I remember running across the car park, and all I could hear was the clack, clack, clack of my mother's heels coming after me. And that's all I remember. I don't know if it blacked out or it wasn't as much fun being caught, but I used to. They were so big and they were so fast. I loved it whenever I could outrun my mum. I never tried running in heels, so I don't know if it was a fair race or not, but I loved it. The future for me was to grow up like my mum and dad. And, of course, as you see in later years, to grow, for your dad to diminish and for you to go on. Goodness, that's almost biblical. But you're strong. Picture a pillar of strength. An example, supposed to be an example of wisdom, supposed to be good providers and protectors, teachers. and even chasteners. These are the things that they give to us. And do you ever remember being put on somebody's shoulders whenever you were little and they could just lift you up and you could see over everybody what was coming for hundreds and hundreds of yards, things that you never see when you're only waist high to your knee high to a grasshopper. You could literally see what's coming, and regardless of whether you stand on your dad's shoulders or an uncle or anybody else, as far as you are in life, you stand on the shoulders of your father. Your future is directed by your father. And I'm using that term purposely, ambiguously. It's directed by your earthly father. It's also, if you let it, directed by your heavenly father. I know all fathers hope that by the time their kids are up on their feet, that they're well advanced on the right paths. And how many times, I know I have many times thought back and thought, now what would my dad do in this case? It's normally about fast talking to somebody. What would my dad say? What would he say? And many times I've followed his advice dealing with people, and it has helped me immeasurably. It has given me, shown me how to make massive strides forward in standing up for myself and just being my own man. Now, we've spoken of our earthly fathers, and we've spoken a little bit of our heavenly father. There's one we have to talk about, and it's not pleasant on a bright and sunny summer morning. But the old devil, he's the father of many, many people. The Lord said so. Sadly, he was talking about religious people. In John chapter 8, I have it in verse 44, this is what he said to the scribes and the Pharisees after all of their attempts to trick him and to make little of him and to even to say that, give all the credit for all of his works to the devil. He doeth these things by, he casteth out demons by our devils by the king of the devils. This is what the Lord had to say to him after calling them hypocrites and two-faced. He said, you're of your father the devil. And the lusts of the father, your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And that's a very serious accusation to make to somebody. There are two families waiting for our... Well, they're not waiting. One family pretty much has everybody until they request those heavenly adoption papers. But for the moment, I want for you to know the devil is a very real person. He is a very real and a very formidable creature. He has been around at least as long as the creation of the earth. And he has managed to fast talk. So fast talk is not always a good thing. He has managed to fast talk fully one third of all of God's holy angels into following him and to destroying as many people as he possibly can. Just like he did to Adam and Eve. He makes these great claims, you'll be like gods. They forgot the bit that the only bit that they'd be like gods in is knowing good and evil. And that was because they inherited, they got themselves a sin nature straight away, so they knew it up close and personal. You don't want to listen to the devil or any of his claims, no matter what he asks you to do, no matter what he promises. If you look at it from a very, very, very skewed perspective, you'd be able to say, yes, he delivered on his promises. But if you look at it with a level head, you will see he gave you what you asked for, and it was not good for you one little bit. He's the father of false religion. For any person that goes to a church and the preacher will never ever speak of sin and judgment to come and the free and forever and sure salvation of souls, that preacher's working for the devil. And you might think, surely they're not out there with their smelling of sulfur and wearing red suits and walking around with pitchforks like their father. They haven't sewed on springy tails with a wee arrowhead on the end and stick horns in their heads. They don't do that. No, they don't. They sound a little bit Christian and they talk a little bit Christian, But they deny the saving power of God, and they deny the changing power of God, and they deny the peace that passeth all understanding. All the wonderful blessings that when you walk with God, there is a path to the end of this life that is clean and pure and holy. But that's all denied. And more than that, he hates the people that follow him. He doesn't bless devil worshippers with all of the things that they want. He hates them. Because every time the devil looks at us, he sees God's creation. We have the image of God stamped on us in being living souls. And even the ones that worship him and try to do bad things, are really, as well as hurting other people, they're hurting themselves and dragging themselves down. He hates them for being weak, for being not a decent adversary, for their stupidity, for not being able even to look around them and check history and even read the book, which he knows inside out and backwards. The devil hates those that listen to him. That's why he treats them so badly. He is the father of lies. He is the father of thieving and adultering and idolatry and immorality of the LGBT alphabet soup of letters that is going around destroying young people's lives. He's the father of government officials that are spreading anti-Christian legislation throughout our country. There are people to whom he appeals and people that will follow him, sadly. And it doesn't matter, I want for you to know, it doesn't matter if you have been that way in your past. It doesn't matter. As far as God's concerned, get saved. Repent of it. Sign those adoption papers. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of adoption, whereby we can call God our Abba Father. I remember before I got saved, in the few years before I got saved, when I was at university, the stupid things that I did. I kid you not, at least one of them nearly cost me my life. Having books on witchcraft and Satanism delivered to the Union Theological College in brown padded envelopes with my name on them so you couldn't see. Can you imagine? They would have had a fit. They would have been up with holy water, holifying my room if they had known the books that I had up there. And I was trying the things in them, and some of them were working. And I remember I nearly jumped out of a second story window, and this was a big second, the rooms were about this height here. One night, because I was having the same dream over and over, and this one night the devil whispered to me, I sleptwalked, instead of dreaming, I was going out through the window and flying down the street. I actually got out and sleptwalked to the window, and I heard a wee voice that said, jump. Thankfully, I was awake enough to work out the odds of, I'm sort of like a 100% odds guy. 50-50s don't work for me. And I thought, and I stood there with my hand on the open window because I was above the boiler, even in winter, the window was always open. And I stood there and thought, if this is a dream and I jump out, everything's good. That's 50%. If this is not a dream and I jump out, they're going to find me dead or with two broken legs in the bottom. So that's only a 50-50. But if I go back to bed right now, that's a full 100% safety net. So I turned sleepwalking back to my bed and got into my bed. And that scared me. Because that is just exactly what the devil would do. He's a liar and the father of it. And it was breaking me. It was worrying me. It was doing my head in listening to all the things that the devil said. And it wasn't until a few years later that a lady that had just gotten out of an even worse lifestyle came to stay in the hotel that I was working in, that I ever even saw a glimpse of God working in people's lives. And the thing that I wanted that. And that brings us to the last father that we will be mentioning. I am sure as we've read through these, you can think of many other things. And that's the whole idea. The whole idea is for your knowledge and your experience of the scriptures to be stirred up by these things. Not that I should give you a full and complete breakdown. We could be here for another hour or two. We have one more father that we've hinted at and alluded to, but you know who I'm talking about. Our Father which is in heaven, God Almighty. We've already spoken about the family and how important a father is in a family, but God's family has a father too. Or should I say, God is the father of this great family that I belong to. And I used to think about it whenever folks would come to Bethany and say, have you any room? And I said, certainly. It'll just be like heaven. We'll shift up a seat in the bench. We'll water the soup. We'll mince the meat and the mashed potatoes and everybody will get a scoop. And everyone will be sorted and fed and will not know any difference. But there is a family to be had. Jesus promised for all of the things, a family, a career, an inheritance, a loving father, a friend close to a brother, all of these things that you believe, that many people believe that the world only supplies, whenever God says, I got something better than you for that. If you give that up, I can give you something better. In fact, something 100 times better. Right now, in this world. I know it comes with persecution sometimes, but I can give you a family. I can give you a family with brothers and sisters. I can give you a family with mothers and fathers, if you want to put it that way. I can give you a family with children. And I want to explain to you why it is so, so very important that you have your Christian family. Over the past few years, sadly, I have had to turn up and carry out more funerals than I would. One funeral is too many funerals to have to do, but I've had to do far too many funerals in my short career as a pastor. One of the most thought-provoking, I think the word's poignant, is that right? Little lady Alice that used to live at the end of the road. Her nephew, Jim, he was a crusty character. He used to fix the TVs and the video recorders up there before TVs got that skinny. And he had a workshop full of electronics and tools, and whenever he passed away, sadly before his auntie, because he lived with his auntie, that's Alice. I got to attend the funeral. I even ended up with some of those tools, and I still have some of them to this very day. But Alice, she soldiered on. I think it was another 10 years maybe after Jim died before Alice passed away. At 96 years old. But over the years when I had the opportunity to visit with her, she said the awful thing about a long life is saying goodbye to all your relatives, to all your nearest and dearest, your brothers, your sisters, your mum, your dad, even your children. At 96 years old, people could be burying children. And that is an awful, we'll call it a wound in the heart, to say goodbye to somebody. The only mitigating factor is that someday you'll see them again if they love Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they will be physically perfect, glorified bodies. But when you have a Christian family, when you have brothers and sisters in Christ, when you have mother figures and father figures in Christ, you will always have your Christian family about you, no matter your age. Instead of there being mothers and fathers for them, you will be maybe a mother or a father to them. But you will always have a brother or a sister in Christ. There will always be somebody there if you take time to cultivate your Christian family. It's very important. We need that. We need that. The number of people that I have seen, and I want to, I know I'm dotting a few I's and crossing a few T's here, but the number of people that I have seen, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witness would be more that way inclined, that would shun everybody once you get saved. That is not the way that Christianity works. Yes, you have a new family that have the same goals and the same aspirations, the same God, reading from the same book, singing from the same hymn sheet. It's important that you are seen as a Christian amongst your lost family so that they can see the difference that Jesus makes. But no matter the age that you get to, no matter the size of your Christian family, if you cultivate them, they will always be there for you. And we need family. We need people to give us a shout and ask us how we are. We do. That's just the nature of the human being. We need company. Some people get along fine without company for a long time, but eventually we're going to have to work with other human beings. We're going to have to maybe sit and have a cup of tea with other human beings and just enjoy the to-ing and fro-ing. And you know what? Sometimes it's handy to have an extra set of hands. I'm sure if Will had decided to go up and track the Crescent Link, he would only be half as far along as whenever Will and I both do it together. It's handy having family. But even just to know that there's somebody there that you can talk to, that you're not on your own, it's very important that we cultivate and contribute to our Christian family. As far as a career goes, there are so many good habits that we can pick up and cultivate that will shape us and mold us and give us literally any career that we could set our minds to. But there is one for those that are not, that don't have great career aspirations in this world, and that is what? To seek and to save that which was lost, to preach the gospel to every creature. That is our career. If you don't have another one in place, or if you're happy to work and pay their bills and your main aim in life is to obey the Lord, excellent. There's a career choice for you. Preach the gospel to every creature. As far as an inheritance goes, does anyone remember the Beatitudes? The meek shall inherit the earth. Someday it's all going to be ours, but again, only for a little time, for 1,000 years and a little bit more here or there. But there is a great inheritance for the Christian to have, and it's goodness. It says we'll be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. There you go. Everything will be at our fingertips. We will inherit the earth. We have a loving Father, and sometimes that love is expressed in a thick ear or a sore behind, but we have a loving Father. And let's be honest, we never get it if we don't deserve it. Isn't that right? Nobody nodded. We always get what we need or what we deserve from our Heavenly Father. He wants the very best for us. He will answer prayers. Sometimes all we need is someone to talk to these things about, and we can talk to him anywhere at any time. In fact, that was one of the reasons Jesus gave his life on the cross, so that we could enter into the holiest. Do you see when the veil was torn in two, when the great earthquake came, when the Lord was on the cross, that was signifying that through Jesus Christ we can go directly to God. We don't have to go through a minister, a priest, a bishop, a deacon, an archdeacon. It's us and God because of Jesus Christ, if we have our faith in Jesus Christ. And we do have friends and family, and we do have a future. The endless ages of eternity will be our future, when nothing can kill us, nothing can hurt us, where we have God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all the holy angels. Just how long do you think it's going to take you to talk to all of the Christians that ever trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior? How long? It's going to take hundreds of thousands and maybe even millions of years to talk to them and to learn about them and wave at them as we walk the streets of gold. We have a future. Our immediate future, to preach the gospel, to be a good Christian, to be a good husband, a good wife, a good son, a good daughter, a good parent. That's our immediate future. To be faithful to the Lord here in this world, that's our immediate future. But our eternity is all wrapped up in God. And we would do well to remember that and to cultivate it and start walking that way sooner rather than later. Of all the fathers that we mentioned, and forgive me for rambling a little bit, he's the only one that sacrificed for his creation. The devil certainly doesn't sacrifice for his creation. He wants everything. He wants to be God, to own everything, and to set all the rules. God Almighty gave himself to save us, even when we were his enemies, and to provide the only future that is really worth having. I know there's a lot of folks seek their security, their assurance in money and glory and power and property and pleasures, sensations, even addictions, some of these things turn into. But I want for you to know that the best place and the safest place in the whole world, on the night that Daniel was thrown in prison, into the lion's den, the safest place in the world for Daniel was in the lion's den, in God's will, obeying and standing for his king, for his saviour. It was the safest, the most exciting, I am sure, for regardless of how closely you walk with God in this world, there's still always the old you there, and you might get a knee quiver or a teeth chatter from time to time as you serve the Lord, but you soldier on through those. If you're keeping your eyes on them, you'll rise above them, Isaiah 40 and 31. But there is excitement to be had. You and I don't know what's going on in the supernatural realm when we speak the words of eternal life. It is exciting. More than that, it is rewarding, humbling. It is the best place to be. He's the only one that not only promises, but provides a free, forever, and sure salvation. And promises to help you here and now. To give you the comfort and the peace the world can't give. And works like Billy Owen spends fortunes trying to achieve. That's for our Father in heaven. I know there is an element that says men are not important. Looking around this hall, basically all of us are actually in a persecuted minority right now. You women, technically speaking, on the world stage, have a higher position in life right now than white men. Did you know that? But God treats everyone the same. He's no respecter of persons. And whether one of his children has white skin or brown skin, wrinkly skin or smooth skin, God treats us all the same. He's there to help each and every one of us. And he loves us more even than he loved his own son. And he gave his life for us to be the best father and the best example of a father that anyone could ever have. It is important that we have a good father figure. And while we had dads in this world that maybe taught us how to tie our shoelaces, one of the things I remember my dad teaching me how to do was to draw the sky the whole way down to the land and not just a blue bar at the top. Another one was drawing boats. You don't draw them on top of the waves. You draw the waves and then you draw the boat in the waves. And the last one was trees, to draw the wee root of the trees at the bottom. I remember my dad teaching me those things and how to paint and how to cut grass and various other and how to work with wood and tools and one thing and another. But for by the soul that doesn't have a dad to do that, there is one father out there. And he will be a really good dad, a perfect dad to anyone that asks him. All it takes is for even us as Christians to say, Heavenly Father, I am sorry I have been going my own way, in the words of the Fleetwood Mac song. I've been going my own way, direct me back. Or for that lost soul to say, Lord, I'm going to hell. Would you direct me to heaven? Would you cleanse me and forgive me? I'm turning away from my sins. That's all that it takes. And he will be your father. And it's not going to matter. It's in the endless ages of eternity, these lineages, not going to matter. Who was your father in the flesh is not going to matter. The most important is who was your father in the spirit. Is it the God of this world or is it God Almighty? I would definitely urge you to make sure that you're saved and listening to what God Almighty says. He always has your best interests, the best interests of souls around and about us, at forefront in his mind. And you know what? That's the sort of person that I want to be. I want to be like my dad. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. I appreciate your patience this morning. We've got one song left to sing. Let's see if I can find it. Increasing the page. There you are. Hymn number 51. Where we'll never grow old, if you're able, we'll stand as we sing, where we'll never grow old.
I have heard of a land on the far away.
filled by Jesus on high, there we never shall die. 'Tis a land where we'll never grow old. Never grow old. Never grow old. In a land where we'll never grow old. Never grow.
Again, for your good time and attention. God bless you. I hope you have a good Lord's Day. Safe travels home. Some of us have further to travel safely than others, but please do remember all of our prayer requests, and don't forget to lift one of the wee prayer lists. Let's close our eyes and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for this little bit of time we set aside around your word. Let us never forget, Lord, that you are our Father, and in the endless ages of eternity, you will always be there. You'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us, and you'll never cast us out. And I pray you, Lord, please, that more people would come to know you as their Heavenly Father too. Bless us and keep us, I pray you, Lord, and the outreach to hardened hearts. We'll just leave all of these things at your feet, and please see us safely home, Lord. We love you and thank you. Amen. Amen, folks. We are dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and...